And in our retirement feature today, our focus is on nutrition. If you think about it, we all know that our dietary needs change. Just think about what you need to eat and, more importantly, drink as an infant, how that changes into childhood and then into adulthood. I wonder how many of us, though, stop to consider that actually we also need to carry on adapting our diets as we age. An appropriate diet can not only maintain vitality and maintain great energy levels as we get older, but can help reduce the risk of a number of age-related health concerns, including osteoporosis, high blood pressure, and many others. Now, to chat to us today about some of the key issues to be aware of as nutrition changes into our retirement years, I'm delighted to welcome on the line Claire Gilsing-Stradom, who is a registered dietitian with Nutritional Solutions. Claire, welcome to Cape Talk. Lovely to have you with us today.
Thank you, Pippa, and welcome. Thank you to your listeners as well.
And I do want to extend the invitation to listeners that if you've got a question for Claire or a comment you'd like to make about how your own dietary needs have changed as you've gotten older, you can send us an SMS to 31567, leave a voice note on 072-567-1567, or drop a voice note to 072-567-1567. Let's get straight to it. Claire, how do our nutritional needs change as we enter sort of our 60s and 70s and beyond?
Well, I think the first thing that we need to understand as well is there's declining physiological functions as we age, and certain systemic sort of changes occur as part of growing older. So we have things like your basal metabolic rate changes because your muscle mass is going slower. We're not as active, so the peristalsis in the gut changes. We absorb nutrients differently. We excrete nutrients differently as we age. But something that I read that was really interesting is the U.S. Census Bureau actually has different classifications, and they now, if you're between 65 and 74, you're actually considered young old. You're not actually that old yet, you know what I mean? And then from 75 to 84, that's old. And over 85 only are you considered older. So I think one of the really important things that we need to start discussing as we age with nutrition is you're going to live a lot longer than what your parents, your grandparents lived. And we need you to be healthy and well and eating good, nutritious food so that your quality of life is good. Because we're going to live far longer than we anticipate, I think.
Very, very important. I've read sort of anecdotal case studies of people where, for example, they'd looked at a parent and noticed a rapid decline in energy levels, in their engagement with the world, in their cognitive function, only to realize that the actual thing that was causing this all was that they were not eating properly, because this was an older person living alone, no longer having somebody cooking for them every night, and they'd fallen into bad eating habits. And a quick intervention of changing diet not only stopped that rapid sort of regression in there, but actually reversed some of those effects that had been felt. Have you seen that in practice, Claire?
Yes, I mean, you do get that, because remember, as people age as well, you, for example, they get alterations in taste and in their sense of smell and touch, and then that leads to poor appetite. They eat inappropriate foods. A lot of people are living on their own. They don't want to cook, so they end up just eating a diet of toast and tea. They're not getting in protein, and they start becoming malnourished. So we actually see in older adults there are deficiencies in their total caloric intake. They don't get enough fat in their diet. Their fiber is lacking: calcium, magnesium, zinc, copper, folic acid, vitamins B12, C, E, and D. So, I mean, just with the vitamin D deficiency, you start getting muscle fatigue. Just with vitamin B6 deficiency, you get neurological impairment. So it's a huge issue. And one of the other things you find if you look at the physiology is your smell and your taste, when you eat something, that smell and taste actually switches on your salivary secretions, your gastric acid secretion, the pancreatic secretion. So what happens is that stimulation's gone. It also impairs your metabolic processes. So it's very common that older people just stop eating, or they just eat really inappropriate foods, essentially, and they don't want to cook. So you've really got to look at that. It's critical.
Okay, some really important issues that you've touched on there, including specific nutrients that we're going to talk about. Overall, though, what would you talk about the importance of eating a healthy, good, nutritious, well-balanced diet. What would you consider that to look like? A plate of food for somebody in their 70s, what should it look like?
So, I mean, if we look at the key nutrients, We need carbohydrates, protein, and fat. It's really important to include all three of those categories. If we look at carbohydrates, we want people to have high fiber carbohydrates. One of the big issues we see in older people is they're more constipated because they're not as active. So because they don't move, their whole peristalsis is not moving, and they tend to be more constipated. So I always encourage people to look at labels of foods and choose foods that have a higher than 6 grams per fiber. Higher than 6 grams per 100 gram fiber on a label. So that could be things like brown rice, bulgur wheat, your grains. You could do softer grains like your whole wheat couscous or baby potatoes with the skin on them or soft sweet potato with the skin on. That increases the nutrient intake. So remember, you've also got to look at what's soft, what's hard, what's easy to chew for these patients. So from a carbohydrate perspective, you're looking at good quality carbohydrates, high in fiber. You need lean protein as well. So you don't want them eating the fatty meats and the, you know, those kind of proteins. You want lean, good quality proteins, high in heme iron as well. So even a boiled egg, for example, which is an easy to prepare option, would be good. Some fish or chicken or meat or legumes could also be used as a protein. And then you also want to have decent amount of vegetables. Now, you often find that people can't handle the volumes as they get older. Their appetites have changed. So you also sometimes need more energy-dense options on a plate. If you had to look at a plate, Pippa, you might, for example, even if it was a slice of whole grain bread that was like a crust, so it's not got little bits and pieces getting stuck in between teeth, etc., a soft-boiled egg, and maybe a little bit of broccoli or some sliced tomatoes on a plate or some cucumber, just so that you get color on that plate, like half a plate veg as a baseline, and then a fistful of carbohydrates and a palmful of protein. But you want that balance. You also want good fats in the diet, so avo, olives, olive oil, nuts, those kind of things. But again, some patients can't handle nuts. So it very much depends on where that person is in terms of their functionality. Do they have dentures? All those kind of things come into play.
Obviously, if you're lucky enough to be living in a retirement community which offers a catering service, for example, somebody else is putting very careful thought, I would imagine, into planning those menus and making sure that balance is there. It is that much more challenging, though, Claire, for those who don't have the luxury of that service and you're doing it on their own. As you've referenced, I mean, I know I get lazy. If my husband's traveling and I don't have to serve up a full dinner, I will also be that person eating tea and toast for dinner. Very often, it's so tempting to do. What's the advice to family members to keep an eye out for that and make sure it's not happening?
So, you know what, we actually encourage our patients with older parents, etc., to do bulk cook-ups. And when you are, let's say you've got your parents are older and they live up the road and you're not really sure what they're eating, you need to first of all check in on them. But if you as a family are having a dinner, put a plate of food aside and pop them. You get these little foil containers with a cardboard lid. Put it in, dish up a meal for them, put the lid on, put the date, what it is, and sort of 2 to 3 month expiry date, depending what food you're putting in, and drop that off in the freezer for them. Another good option is to cook up batches of food. So a really good example would be if you take 500 grams of mincemeat and you cook that with some garlic and a little bit of onion, and you do you saute onions and an entire punnet of mushrooms, and you put the mince in with 2 tins of tinned tomatoes, some grated carrots, grated baby marrows, and a tin of red kidney beans. That one recipe that I've just rattled off now would give you 10 meals, and you've put 5 vegetables into that mince. So by them just eating that little portion of mince, even on a slice of toast, they've gotten 5 veg and protein and fat from the olive oil you've used for cooking. They just need to add the slice of toast or a little bit of whole grain pasta or some soft rice or a baked potato. You can literally do freezer meals and you even take the mince and put it in little Ziploc bags and pop it in the freezer in single servings for them. Soups are another great option. You also want energy-dense foods. So like a mince, for example, 30 grams of mince, which is really little, it's the size of a matchbox, is equal to 1 protein exchange, where somebody that's older might not eat through a rump steak, you know what I mean? Mm. They would get the nutrients in through a little bit of mince, which obviously would be a good option. So it's the freezer's probably your best friend in that instance. If someone's living alone, you can do batch cook-ups, and then they can use that over a period of months, and then you do another set of different foods again, and you cook different meals so that they're getting that variety in the nutrients.
Okay, some great advice coming through here, Claire. Martin on the WhatsApp line says to me that his mom has osteoarthritis. She's 75. Is there anything she can do in terms of healthier eating to help with that?
Yeah, so when we look at osteoarthritis, it's an inflammatory condition. There's also, the bone is a problem. So we want to look at nutrients like calcium, magnesium, vitamin K2. We want to look at vitamin D. We also want to look at anti-inflammatory foods that have higher omega-3 quality. So sardines, pilchards, mackerel, trout, and salmon contain omega-3 fatty acids. And if you eat 270 grams, so that's three servings of those fatty fish in the period of a week. So at a 90-gram serving, that would meet the omega-3 intake needs. So the omega-3s help with the arthritic part of that. And with osteoporosis, osteopenias, you want to increase calcium in the diet. But if we look at the recommended amounts there, we're looking at about 1,000 milligrams to 1,200 milligrams a day, depending on gender. And people might not be getting in three cups of dairy or yogurt. Yeah. And you might need supplementation in these individuals. So the reality is to if you're not sure and you're a parent like Martin, like you're a child like Martin who's looking after their parents, it might be worthwhile getting a workup as a dietitian, taking your mom to see the dietitian and seeing what is their diet currently looking like, how do we improve it based on their ability, whether they can cook, can't cook, what the state is in terms of gut function. Mm. There's so many contributing factors. I mean, even just the medications one needs to consider. So, yeah, I hope that helps, Martin, just to look at those key nutrients as a starting point. So, like yogurt would be a good option. Vitamin D helps with calcium absorption into bone, and you get vitamin D from sitting in the sun. So we also want to encourage our elderly sort of community members to go out in the sun and get some sunshine. It's sort of 10 to 15 minutes. There's actually even an app now that you can use called Beeminder that helps you to see that you get enough vitamin D, because in South Africa, our angle of the earth to the sun, we're below the 33-degree latitude line, so you actually need to be getting the sun in between sort of the 11, 1 o'clock time in the day, which is not great for skin cancers and stuff. So you literally have to sit in the sun for 10 or 15 minutes with no sunscreen or creams and then get out of the sun. And this D-Minder app actually helps you and tells you you've been in the sun long enough, off you go, get back indoors. So there's lovely apps available and the resources available for people to use.
The last question we must quickly squeeze in, and thank you, Terence, for reminding me. We've spoken about eating, but what about hydration? Claire, very important to be aware of taking in enough water.
Yes, you definitely need to make sure you have enough water. I mean, we also know as people age, their kidneys become more susceptible to, chronic conditions, especially if they have excessive protein intakes or medication. So you do need about a glass of water for every 10 kilograms that you weigh. Be sure not to overtake, to have too much water as well. It's also dangerous. It's about that fine balance. So if you weigh 70 kilograms, you probably need about 7 glasses of water per day, and a glass of water is about 250 mils per glass. But if it's a really hot day, you'd have a little bit more. Okay. But just definitely not too overhydrate either.
Claire, you have been an absolute goldmine of information for us today. Thank you so much for that input. We really appreciate it.
It's a big pleasure. Thank you.
Claire Gilsing-Stradom is a registered dietitian with Nutritional Solutions.